Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Thank you for joining us in this weekly Chumash here. We have the great chus this week of reading Parshas Kisisa. Parshas Kisisa is one of the most dramatic parshios, a story that we know quite well, that we read about over and over again, namely the sin of the golden calf and the throwing down of the luchos of Moshe Rabbeinu. And of course, we know that on every fast day we read this portion because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded for forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're introduced to the idea of the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. I wanted to take a few moments to discuss not what the sin of the golden calf was. We know, of course, the famous discussion of the Rishonim, of Yehuda Levi, and the Ramban, and others on this topic, something that is discussed at length in the Midrashim. I want to discuss a couple of psukim that we know, but perhaps might be something that is worth revisiting. Namely, we're told in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yutes, Vayhi kasher karav el hamachaneh vayar se'egel mechalos, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he got close to the encampment and he saw the egel and dancing, Vayichar af Moshe, Moshe became enraged. Vayashlech miyadov et haluchos. He threw down the luchos. Vayishaber osam tachas ahar. And he broke them underneath the mountain. Now, there's so much to discuss in these just this one pasuk. Now, it's worth noting that Moshe Rabbeinu was really almost what you would call dancing in three different hasanas. And he was experiencing two different emotions, all integrated into one personality. Namely, he was Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Israel, the defender of Israel, who was arguing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Bnei Israel should be saved and why they should be saved. So he was acting as essentially the defense attorney for the nation. But also, he shared HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger as well. So he came down by Yichar af Moshe. So it wasn't just that Moshe was defending the nation, but he was free of the anger that God Chavod of Atzim was feeling. No, he also identified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's disappointment, and he imitated God in that anger. So in the one hand, the person, the parent, the leader that can defend the children, defend the nation, while also having that enormous fury, disappointment, anger, and all that was essentially being experienced simultaneously by Moshe Rabbeinu. There's another fascinating point which is discussed at length by the Mefarshim, by the Rishonim, by the Acharonim, namely, what was Moshe hoping to accomplish by throwing down those luchos? And why was it something that Gemara tells us in Sechah Shabbos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with to take essentially the Torah and to destroy the Torah? And there's a very wide-ranging discussion, machlokas, on this topic. Some people say, this is commented by the Rashbam, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not, in fact, throw down the luchos because he would not have had the right to have done such a thing. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu, the luchos slipped out of Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, but normally the Rashbam, probably more so than any other commentator, is very literal about the words, and clearly that does not seem to be the pshat here, because here we say, Vayashach miyados haluchos, the luchos were sent down, they were thrown down, Vayishaberosam, and they were thrown down, they were broken. So while the Rashbam, that pshat is nice, it's sort of defending Moshe Rabbeinu that he would not have actively destroyed the luchos, they slipped out of his hands. Doesn't seem like that is the pashup shot in that narrative. There are other people that say, no, Moshe Rabbeinu purposely threw down the luchos, and he did so out of just enormous anger and enormous disgust. Other people take the opinion that he threw down the luchos not because he was so angry, but as a way of shocking the nation into doing tshuva, which in fact was effective, as a way of demonstrating the necessity of repentance, which again was effective. So it's to some degree like the father who sees a child erring and takes a plate, he throws it against the wall, as a way again of shocking the child and making the child understand the necessity of doing tshuva. I saw a beautiful pshat in Mer Simcha Medvin, the Meshech Chachma, and he lists about 5 pages worth, and I'll just make it concise into 2 lines. What Moshe Rabbeinu was doing was demonstrating to the nation a point of chinuch. And the point of chinuch is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care, and in Judaism we don't really care about the outer forms. The outer form might be the luchos, the outer form might be the Torah, but if there's not a morality and ethics and decency and connection to God behind that outer form, so the outer form has become rendered essentially useless. And that was obviously the mistake Bnei Israel were making. They were building an egel. They were connected to sort of the outer forms of avoda, of service. Throwing down the luchos was a point in chinuch of saying, none of this makes a difference unless a person, where they are in their heart and in their mind and in their ideology and in their thoughts, almost all that is correct. And Moshe Rabbeinu was throwing down the luchos, and that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with. Namely, I don't care about, as we know from the Nevi'im, your karbanos. I don't care about that outer form. I care about you and the inner world of the Jew. So I want to spend just the next few moments dealing with a different question. And it's a question that the Mefarshim are bothered by, that we know that up on top of the mountain, God relayed to Moshe Rabbeinu exactly what was going on. Shichet amchos, your people are becoming corrupt. Saru maher min hadera, go quickly and go down, right? Asu lehem egel masricha. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain that they've made either an avodah zara, an egel, they're bowing down to it, they're offering sacrifices, they're saying, these are the gods of Israel. So God already tells Moshe Rabbeinu all that at Har Sinai. But yet we are told that it wasn't until Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayar Esa Egel Mecholos, he saw the egel, he saw the dancing, only then Vayicharaf Moshe. We understand why Moshe would have gotten angry, but why only get angry as he is nearing the encampment? Why not have that incredibly strong reaction even on Har Sinai? And that would seem to make a lot of sense. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing on Har Sinai, and he's told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that at that moment that they're offering sacrifices to an egel. If it was me, if it was you, maybe at that moment we would have taken the luchos, we would have thrown them down. Maybe at that moment we would have, by Yichar Af Moshe, we would have gone enraged in that moment. Why wait until he was further down? So maybe one can say, as we just mentioned before, that this was a demonstration for the people and for the nation. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu getting angry and responding on top of Har Sinai would have been meaningless. And that might be true when it comes to throwing down the luchos. But as far as the natural reaction of anger, you would have thought that that would have existed the second that Moshe Rabbeinu heard about the deed and the action of Bnei Israel down in the camp. Let me suggest 2 pshatim that are mentioned by the Mefarshim, one of which I'm sure anybody who's listening can already think of, and the second might be something a little bit less obvious, and at least in my mind, somewhat more profound. The first pshat is what we say, Eino dome shmiya l'ri'ya, Eino dome ri'ya l'shmiya, namely, you can hear about something from here to tomorrow. Moshe Rabbeinu could stand on top of Har Sinai and be having this entire picture painted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shichet amcha, your nation is destroying themselves, corrupting themselves. But when you actually go and you actually see it with your own eyes, and you see the visual of the nation there with the sense of revelry and the sense of enthusiasm, Tafka in that moment, as they're standing Tachas Ahar, Eino Doma Shmi L'Ri'iya, there's no comparison between hearing something and seeing something. And that's a concept that we know well in Halacha, that's a concept that we know in Machshava. And it's just, you know, a somewhat obvious, an obvious point that we all understand from our own lives. When you see something, it has a different effect than when you hear something. But there's another pshat which is borne out very subtly in the language of the Tzukim, and that is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when I read to you the pasuk again, Asu lahem egel masecha, they are making for themselves an egel, vayishtachavu lo, they're bowing down to it, vayizbechu lo, and they're sacrificing animals to it, and they're saying, Eilo lukecha, these are the gods of Israel. There's one thing that was left out of God's account to Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe Rabbeinu saw with his own eyes. And I guess the question would be why. But that thing is, and going back to the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayaras ha'egel u'micholot, that he saw the egel and he saw the dancing. And what he saw with his own eyes was very different than the description. The description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them was that they are offering sacrifices and they built an egel, but God doesn't say anything about the dancing that's going on. And in fact, some of the portion they point out in the pasuk, Vayar es ha'egel, he saw the egel. Which egel? The egel which he had already heard about. And then it doesn't say the hamichalos and the dancing, because he didn't know about the dancing. There was nothing to refer back to. It just says umicholos. He saw the egel that was referred to, and he also saw something that perhaps he was not expecting, namely, he saw the dancing that was going on. The Mephoshim point out that this is an absolutely critical distinction. I read to you the language of the Alshich. He says that a person who sins and he grieves over it, he's able to repent and make amends. But he who revels in his iniquity is, God forbid, a hopeless case. So the difference was the revelry. They were so involved. They were so immersed. They were so joyous about the Avodah Zarah. It's something that the Sfarno points out, and also Rav Hirsch. Let me read to you just a few lines of Rav Hirsch on this pasuk. So long as the false conceptions of idolatry are rooted merely in the intellect, they can be eradicated by enlightenment and by instruction. Misconceptions can be corrected by the force of truth. The gates of repentance, says Rav Hirsch, are thus still wide open. But when those same idolatrous concepts break through the bounds of the intellect and begin to demoralize the practical behavior of man, his uncontrollable passions becoming consecrated in a public cult on the altar of falsehood, then they develop and thrive to their heart's content. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw that whatever it was that was taking place on this altar, whether it was real Avodah Zarah, whether it was something else altogether, but when he saw that it had gone well beyond something intellectual, well beyond something cerebral, well beyond something that can easily be changed and easily be redirected, but had become so part of the passions of man, at that point Moshe Rabbeinu became enraged. And it probably wasn't just because of watching Bnei Yisrael dancing by that egel. Moshe Rabbeinu probably understood in that moment not to speak badly about the nation of Israel, but the coarseness of the nation. A nation who was still connected to the morals and the values of Egypt. A nation of people that were not sophisticated enough to fail to accept and live by the life of the Torah that he was bringing down from the mountain. And it was this that Vayichar af Moshe, when Moshe saw that umachalos, he threw down the luchos. When I saw that shot by Rav Hirsch, it struck me as being, A, incredibly true, not that Rav Hirsch needs my haskama, but also incredibly profound in a very real way. As long as we can approach an issue, whatever that issue might be, in an intellectual way, so we can be convinced of the rightness of the issue. But once something, a character flaw, a midah, a misconception, a false idea becomes so entrenched in our very DNA, our very essence, so much so that we are dancing and rejoicing as a reflection of that midah, and we can fill in the blanks for any of us in our own life of not dancing and singing, but something else, it becomes so ingrained into us, so then the ability to change, in fact, becomes almost impossible. And it was that the Moshe Rabbeinu was responding to. The life of Moshe Rabbeinu, the passions of Moshe Rabbeinu should inspire us to look at all of our values, our ethics, things that we hold dear to ourselves, to make sure that we have not allowed any negative characteristics or ideas become integrated into who we are. We should be reminded of the fact that to some degree the luchos are just the outer world, but what Rachmana li babayi, what we really need is the inner world. We should continue to be so impressed and moved by Moshe Rabbeinu, who on the one sentence can defend passionately the nation of Israel, also feeling angry at them as any father would, and continue to grow and learn from the amazing and modern-speaking contemporary values we're in Parshas Kitisa, and in fact from the entire Torah. Have a good day, have a good Shabbos, and thank you again for calling in.
Thank you.